Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. And this is Rick, and it is the 7th of February 2011, and Q&A call for the subscription side. Please forgive my tardiness on getting on the call. We had a group of interns here, and then I had technical difficulties, so I couldn't get on, so I apologize. So we'll just begin with the questions today. Number one, I am experiencing guilt and shame as the unfaithful spouse, male. Discovery and disclosure was almost 8 months ago, and some days seem to be more difficult than others. There is no pattern, and it may be one extreme emotional swing from day to day. Do you have any suggestions? Well, it's interesting. I think that the pattern of swinging back and forth emotionally between ambivalence and pain and good and bad and is really pretty normal still at 8 months. In fact, the bad news is probably going to get a little worse for the next 4 months, and then it should begin to get better. Actually, now, if you're just talking about guilt and shame, you know, it's interesting. For guilt, the solution is pretty simple if it's you personally experiencing that. And it has a lot to do with the ability to accept responsibility and make amends. And because we can make amends for things we do. Shame is much more a much larger problem when someone begins to swing into shame, because it actually is the primary component that blocks connection back to your mate. Because at one level with shame, there's a belief that I'm not worthy, there's, you know, something wrong with me. You have to have a strong sense of love and belonging and believe you're worthy in order for things to work out, to really reconnect. But what happens, I think, a lot of times with people is that instead of having that, they have shame, which impacts the way they build relationships. It's really, the shame will cause a lot of destructive behaviors in the relationship, because it causes hiding. It corrodes the part of us that believes we can change. Somehow it tells us that we can't. It's a message that says you're horrible, worthless, you're not capable of change. And again, it blocks that ability to have even empathy toward another person. So the solution to shame, in my understanding, really has a lot to do with being able to tell your story, being able to gain perspective, to gain altitude, to understand that our behavior does not equal motive. It's not who we are. I think that doing 12-step work is really important when it comes to dealing with shame, and I would highly recommend trying to be involved with a group of people where you can be honest and they can be honest back, but they can hear what you have to say. And it really takes, I think, a strong commitment and an understanding that you need to attack shame. That, I mean, there's an intellectual decision you need to make that you want to break away from shame and get clear from that stuff. And hopefully, that's something you can do. But I would hope in the long run that that would help with those particular mood swings. So, next question. TV and movies. Oh, boy. I have a hard time when my unfaithful husband wants to watch TV or movies that degrade women, no, I don't blame you, and or healthy relationships in general. I've tried to talk with him about this in the past, and he thinks I'm being unreasonable. His response is usually something like, oh, thank you very much for reminding me of my failure, followed by several days of pouting with no TV at all, which gradually eases back into pretend normal. So let me start this again. I have a hard time when my unfaithful husband wants to watch TV or movies that degrade women or healthy relationships in general. I guess the response I'd like to hear from him is something more like, I'm so sorry. I can see why it would be hard for you on you to watch this. Let's find something else. I feel completely misunderstood at this point. I usually fall back into old behaviors of trying to defend and explain myself. I know this is about as effective as screen doors on a submarine. However, because I don't have a solid plan in place for a better response, I'm stuck. I know I can't change him, but I also know I have to change my response or the situation for the situation to ever change. Any thoughts? Yes. The first thing I would suggest is you need to be very clear about what your boundaries are for your own health and your own safety. And let him clearly know you are not trying to shame him, because obviously, you know, he's connecting everything. Your responses are due to him. Tell him clearly he doesn't have that much power, but in your life, you've recognized what's important for you. And the last thing you need is something that's going to take you to that place. And tell him there's nothing abnormal about you whatsoever. I don't want you to feel shame that you even have that response. I would suspect that there's probably some fear on your part. I mean, I think I could be a little bit maybe afraid of that. Just let him clearly know, again, this isn't, I mean, I think for just health's sake, this isn't necessarily about, you're not trying to prescribe the choices that he makes. He's going to have to live and die by his own choices, but certainly you can make healthy choices for yourself, and you plan on doing that. And you hope that in the long run, you know, the two of you can, you know, work around that. I would hope that spending time with you would be more important to him than some of those things. But if you set your boundary and just refuse to participate in that, then it won't go back into pretend normal. You just need to dismiss yourself and say, you know, in the end when he says, he gets angry, sit there and say, look, you know, I know what I need to change to be healthy. And I'm sticking to that. And hopefully, you know, he will eventually begin to change with you. But you set your boundaries and take care of yourself. And just tell him, you know, it's okay for me to set boundaries for me. And obviously you need to do what you need to do, but I need to do what I need to do to be healthy. And I'll just keep it as a personal boundary. And I think you may find it won't make him happy. But in the long run, I think you'll find yourself doing better. Hopefully, I mean, I wouldn't try to defend me at all or explain you. I'd just say, you know, these are just my boundaries and stay with that. And then disengage, detach, and hopefully, you know, in the long run, he'll begin to look at it. And, you know, if he can get beyond the shame, maybe he can be objective. Obviously, this is something that's hard for him to give up. I don't know why. So lots of luck on that one. I just hope that he begins to do his own recovery in a way that's healthy for both of you. You can both find a way of still finding other things to watch. So the next question. My husband agreed to give me a cell phone when he comes home. This has actually happened twice in 3 months. He isn't communicating with his mentor. He's still texting unsafe people, which we discussed. He has yet to find an accountability partner or talk to our minister. Now, I know, I should be focusing on recovery. I get that. I am. But he's driving me nuts. He's in his own little world. He's acting like nothing ever happened, and it's all business as usual about everything. Help. So nobody's going to like this particular answer. The one thing I know is that you can't take responsibility for your mate's recovery. And I know that also relapse is a very, very normal part of change. I don't want relapse for anybody. But if somebody one of the things we talk about at EMS is that when people begin to change, they say they'll do WIT, whatever it takes. In reality, all they're really willing to do is what it will take up to the point to where change occurs. If they're not doing enough, eventually they will relapse. When they relapse, then what occurs is typically, if they're healthy enough, they'll start, well, typically they'll begin to do more of what it takes. I mean, each time they relapse, that's why research shows that it's people sometimes end up kind of, now I'm not, when I say relapse, it doesn't mean they necessarily go back into full-blown stuff, but stuff keeps popping up because they still think that they're doing enough ultimately. Well, they're still trying to control it rather than trying to be authentic and let go of control and to be weak. They still want to try to be strong. Until they fail, they're not going to get to the place where they feel like they can do that. You know, when somebody's doing what you're describing here, I suspect that over time, it'll get him. And you need to have decided what you're going to do when he gets to the place where he begins to fail. Because for whatever reason, pride or shame, it's still difficult for him to accept that maybe he has an issue. And there are the rare individuals that I come across that don't have an issue, but he'll certainly find out if he continues this particular type of behavior. For that reason, I would get in your own recovery, and I'd work really hard at trying to be healthy so that you're in a good place and you know what you're going to do whenever whatever sort of failure begins to occur on his part. Because if you don't, you're going to end up having a real struggle. So you need to be focused on just your own healing, your own hurts, your own trauma. Get as healthy as you can so that you don't totally get the wind knocked out of you. And you already need to have kind of your own plan of what you're going to do, almost like a contingency plan of what you do if he decides to leave. Or if he decides when he relapses, because he probably won't be deciding to leave. You may be trying to decide if you want to stay, given his unwillingness to do what it's going to take. Usually what I recommend, though, with people who are just beginning in recovery, knowing that relapse is a normal part of change and that they just don't get it yet, is if when they relapse, they go back into denial and claim they don't have a problem, at that point, you know, the only thing I know to tell you is put your tinnies on, because he's not going to be safe because he still doesn't get it. And right now, I mean, it's almost like there's an element of denial that he would do it again. And it's only going to be through failure that he begins to figure out he can. I mean, there was a relapse in my own recovery that was very necessary for me to begin to get the magnitude and the seriousness of the problem. When people fall, sometimes they relapse, they'll go back into being ambivalent. Well, maybe I should do something, maybe I should. They still don't have that determination. They don't know what to do. They're just kind of stuck going back and forth. I don't know what to do. They're wringing their hands. They're not saying it's not a problem, but they're not saying it's a big enough problem. They need to do something, so on and so forth. At that point, I think you give them a short period of time, maybe a couple of months, to determine what they're going to do. I wouldn't even try to direct it. It needs to be their thing. You'd be far better off if your mate is ambivalent to sit there and tell them, I don't think you're really capable of doing this, rather than telling them what they've got to do, because once you tell them they're not capable of doing it, it's almost like you open up the possibility of them saying, yes, I can, watch this. I mean, if you're telling them what they've got to do because of the ambivalence, they'll immediately come back and say, no, I don't. So tell them they can't, and they're more likely to move. And sometimes when people relapse, they go right back down into determination. They begin to add to their program. They start doing more things. They begin to make changes. Those are the ones that it's safe to say, I mean, as painful as relapse may be, I will tell you that that's the person that at least is taking responsibility for themselves. Hopefully they're doing it for them and not for you. They're trying to figure out what's going on. That's a safe person, and you could leave them, obviously, because you know it's going to be a journey. At the same time, there may be reasons you ultimately want to stay with them. If they're willing to search and figure out why they continue to do this, and they're willing to begin to do the things to stay safe. However, back to what I said, if they're not, they don't have that attitude, then eventually you need to make a decision, because as long as you're in denial, they'll continue back into pretend normal, and they'll continue messing up over time, and you just need to decide, is that something you want? Let's see. Next question here. Let me refresh this real fast. So this one is on feelings. What happens with the unfaithful spouse that when I try to explain how I feel, it causes him to withdraw, get defensive, and angry, even if it's feelings about something other than him or the infidelity itself? I'm asking this on many spouses who seem to be dealing with that issue at the present time. So what's happening when that occurs is they've got an issue with shame that ultimately has got to be addressed. It's interesting, the unfaithful spouse are really trying to tackle the topic of shame. If any of you have spouses in the unfaithful course, please be patient. We're not done with our shame exercises by any way, shape, form, the imagination. Shame is a very difficult emotion or belief system to begin to untangle. And in shame, shame actually, again, is the anti-relationship emotion because it really tells the other person, I'm unworthy. And so what you'll see typically when someone is shame-based is a great deal of defensiveness, trying to explain why they are worthy. If somebody naturally believes they're worthy and they mess up, then instead of it being like an identity message that I'm bad, they see it as some place where they screwed up and they can easily take responsibility. But if they're shame, rather than taking responsibility, they have to get defensive ultimately to say I'm good. And so that causes that withdrawal and that anger, even if it's not, you know, even because if you're having negative feelings, they feel like it's just in shame. It's a reflection on them and their badness. It's hitting that core piece, and now they're saying, no, I'm not bad. I didn't cause this, because there's that pervasive theme within them. So that theme has to be, shame ultimately has to be detoxified within them. You know, one of the core beliefs of a sex addict is, if you really knew me, you would never love me. So for that reason, if you're dealing with somebody in particular who is sexually addicted, then there's going to be, a huge issue on that aspect of shame. Hang on just a second here. I'll just keep talking while I want to read this to you guys. You hear me typing here? So, here are basically the core beliefs. And you can see how these are all shame-based. One, I'm basically a bad and unworthy person. For people to have a relationship, ultimately, they have to believe they're worthy of a relationship. Otherwise, they're shame-based and their ability to connect is non-existent. To be vulnerable, you have to believe you're worthy. Otherwise, if you expose things to people and they didn't think you were vulnerable, or you were vulnerable and exposed things, then you would be rejected because they don't believe they're worthy, so they have to keep the image up, and that's why they get defensive. Number two, no one would love me as I am. So they believe that somehow they've got to change to be lovable. That's where meetings come in, and I think it's so important to be able to share. Number three, my needs are never going to be met if I have to depend on other people. So at one level, there's a belief, and probably because needs weren't met when they were a kid, obviously, that those needs aren't going to be met, and sex is my most important need, or sex is the most important sign of love. And I would say, especially for relationship addicts, it's even more than that. It's almost like your validation, your attention, you're being happy and, you know, always happy when you're with me, you know, is a sign of my greatness. I light up your life. It's just a whole belief there that's kind of crazy that has to be addressed. So hopefully that will explain a little bit as to why they do that. It is infuriating. It's frustrating. It's painful to watch them go through it, and it's painful for what it does to others. So for all the hurt spouses out there, I promise we're trying to address the issue of shame so they'll stop that. So that's the end of our questions for the day. I certainly want to thank everybody for joining the call, and I hope you guys have a really good week.